Verse number 5, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight we thank You that we have the blessed, wondrous privilege to be able to have in our hands this Your Word. Lord, we take it for granted, for we know that in land after land around this world, there are folk who have not the Word of God. And we thank You that You have allowed us to have a copy of our very own. Now, Father, we pray that this Word might sink deep within our hearts. I pray tonight You might teach us wonderful truth, that our hearts might be joined one to another, and that You would be glorified as a result. We pray this in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. I'll be quite frank with you tonight. I have sentences written on a piece of paper here. And as I look at those and think about what is in my heart, I'm not sure I can follow it. I'm not sure what I can follow tonight. But there's something deep down inside that I would like to try to really get across. And that is what might be called the real test of revival. The real test of revival. What is it that will be in our hearts and lives if we really come to the point of revival? Now, I believe tonight in personal revival, but I also believe in corporate revival or church-wide revival. And I'm speaking here tonight primarily in regards to what we might call church-wide. And by the way, if it really hits a church, it's going to hit a city. And if it really hits a city, it's going to affect a state. And I believe can really do some wondrous things. I'm concerned about the good old U.S. of A. A lot of folks this year saying, "My goodness, we really need to pray for our leadership because they really don't have a clue." And I would have to agree with you. But this is what I do believe. This nation elected them. They got that as a majority. And so that shows, if we believe that about leadership, shows us something about the majority of our citizenry. We're in bad shape in America. But this is not the first time we've been in bad shape in America. By no means whatsoever. God has graciously, in the many years that we've been here since Columbus discovered it in 1492, God has wondrously allowed some revivals that have swept across our country. And because of those revivals, we have seen God's people turn back to Him. The need tonight is not better government. The need tonight is not to protest our government, though there's nothing wrong with protesting when they do things wrong and saying amen when they do things right. But the real need tonight is for revival. The real need tonight is not in the lives of those who are lost. The real need tonight is in our lives. For revival starts in the hearts of God's people. It's all about new life. It's all about that which is within. When we read this text here tonight, there's some interesting thoughts here, where we find here that it talks about walking in the light. Walking in the light. Now, light does something. Light reveals. Light is that which is going to illuminate and reveal to you and to me. And so when we are walking in the light of God, that means that God's light is revealing our lives. So if we're walking in the light of God and it's revealing our life, it's quite obvious it's going to reveal our sin. Is that not true? And so if we're walking in the light and God's light is revealing our sin, then we find that verse 9 must come into play, because here we find that it says, as a matter of fact, verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we what? Deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We're not walking in the light. But if we're walking in the light and God's light reveals our sins, then there's something that needs to take place. If we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much? We dealt with this morning. Very true statement. From all unrighteousness. So it is God, through His light, as it shines upon us, as we allow that to take place in our life, that brings us to the spot where we can confess all of our sins. You say, how do you know when this is taking place? How do you know when you are in this walk with God that is so wondrous? How do you know when the Spirit of God has filled you? I want you to look at verse number 7 very particularly tonight. For there is something here that is that I believe peculiar perhaps to this verse, but certainly peculiar to the Word of God. And notice what it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. This is walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking with the indwelling Christ, walking with the Spirit of God. We're allowing Him to have full control in our lives. What's the next few words? What's it say? Say it with me. We have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship one with another. We go clear back in the Word of God, the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, and we find that man sinned against God. We say, hey, we're going to do it our way. We want it our direction. And so I'm not going to do what you say, God. I'm going to follow my own dictates. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. And we find sin came to the world. Did you ever notice that chapter 4 follows chapter 3? You say, well, of course it does, preacher. Well, think about it for a moment. What happened in chapter 4? What always happens when we're out of sorts with God, we get out of sorts with other people. If we're not going to allow God to have input in our life, we're not going to allow Him to direct us, we are certainly not going to let somebody else direct us. And we find that we are immediately in conflict one with another. And we find that it's between brother and brother, it's between Cain and Abel, and we find that one rises up and slays the other. And it's a result of the sin, it's a result of the fact, hey, they did not walk in relationship to God. They were going their own direction. It was a matter of self-leading them. And so we find that against God, and then we immediately find it against our brother. And here God says, if we are walking in the light as He is in the light, we what? Have fellowship one with another. Remarkable. I believe here is a statement about revival, though that word revival is not found in our text. But if we're walking in the revealing light of God, none of our sin is hidden, and with openness with each other, there becomes true fellowship. Matter of fact, I find something that takes place. We have found this on especially Saturday night some as we've gathered together to pray. And one of the things we begin to find and notice as we draw near unto God is that we must confess our sins to God, but we have to do something else with our brother. About a week and a half ago, Lance came to me and he asked me a question, and I was really kind of shocked by the question. He says, is there a difference between faults and sin? Because in the Bible it says, confess your what? Faults one to another. Now I realize it's a connection with healing, and that's interesting too. God healing us, and we need some healing in our lives, do we not? Not only physical, but we need some spiritual healing. And so I began to look up that word false and began to think about that a little bit. And I'm not a Greek scholar by any means, but one of the things I found was that that word in the Greek that's translated there false, in many, many places in the book of Romans especially, is translated offenses. I got to thinking about that and thinking about offenses, being offended and being offensive. That is what? That is sin between brothers or sisters. That is that which we dislike with each other. Now we find that Jesus Christ is our high priest. We find that we're our own priest, and we find that we really don't have to confess our sins to each other. We don't have to confess those things that are very private in our lives with each other. Now it doesn't hurt if we do. If we want to do that, that's fine. But it does say confess your faults one to another. And here's something interesting that must take place if revival is going to happen in our lives. And that is, if we're going to walk in the light as He is in the light, if we are going to follow the dictates of the Word of God, we are not only going to have to confess our sins to God, those things are between us and God, but we're going to also have to confess our faults one to another. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever asked God to reveal to you how you treat other people? By the way, if you're not ready for the answer, don't ask Him. I have found God is wondrous in answering prayer. I have found that when you ask God those kind of questions, He gets busy right away. And I find that God, boy, I mean, He begins to pour it on. Now, He doesn't pour it on more than I can handle. Thank the Lord for that. But boy, I mean, He tells me this, He tells me that, and how I am relating to people. And quite honestly, brethren, I've not done a very good job. And I, through my life, have been very offensive to people. And now, I understand that the gospel is offensive, and the fact that it's going to tell people, hey, you're sinful, and folks don't want to hear that. And so when I preach the gospel, that's going to be offensive, but I don't need to be offensive. And I've done that. And I've ridiculed, and I've hurt people's feelings, and I've done these kinds of things. And what I need to do, and what you need to do, and what all of us need to do, is we need to confess our faults one to another. Especially the one we have perpetrated against. That we might be able to make things clear between brethren. How are we going to walk in the light as He is in the light when the Lord said, don't even bring your gift to the altar until you first go and talk to your brother about the offenses you've had in his life? Yeah. You know what it means? I appreciate that testimony tonight. And Catherine, she said about Lauren this morning being very transparent. I don't know what she said up there. I don't know what she said. I got some idea of what she said up there. And told some things about herself. And opened up some things. And we must be transparent one with another. You see, what we normally do is we walk in darkness. What we normally do is because we have these things in our lives, what do? We try to cover it up. That's walking in darkness. And so we have all of these things whereby we try to cover up. You know, on one extreme, we'll get with people and the way we cover it up is we just tell jokes. And we're just funny, 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 funny all the time. And what are we trying to do? We're covering up the fact that inside there's some things wrong. And I have no problem with jokes. I like a good joke now and then. Don't you like to laugh? Amen? Yeah, we do. We go to the complete opposite extreme of that, and we might call it extreme shyness, but even shyness. By the way, you know shyness is pride? It is? Yeah, we're afraid people might see in us. We're afraid that they might get a glimpse of who we really are. How are we going to have fellowship one with another if we're hiding? How are we going to do that? And so we've got to be what? Open. Again, we're not telling sins, but we do need to what? Be open in our relationships. We tell our sins to God. Confess our faults one to another. And allow that kind of thing to be healed in our lives. One of the amazing things that I see in some people is that they don't have any enemies. Do you know why they don't have any enemies? Because they're transparent. They're willing to let people see them as they are and accept them for who they are. Yeah. All that's so needed in our lives. We walk around, we come to church, and we put on our mask, don't we? We get in nice clothes, or, you know, maybe nicer than we normally are. I have no idea. But we, you know, we dress up, and then we get on our church face. It's that pious thing. I remember a guy used to come to our church, and he'd come to church, and he'd get an offering envelope and put an amount on the thing, and I don't know what it said, and he'd put it in his pocket. He didn't wear a suit or a suit coat. And he'd walk around through the whole service. It had somehow disappeared during offering time, but it was never in the offering. What was he doing? He was putting on a face. I'm a giver. When in fact, he wasn't. And that's what we do. And as a result, we are not allowing ourselves to learn fellowship one with another. If I'm going to get to know you and have fellowship with you, I have to know you. You can't hide things. By the way, here's a real problem. It starts in the home. And oftentimes our homes are in such need of revival because even between husbands and wives, there is these walls, and boy, they get bigger and bigger. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to be transparent? Are you willing to be open? You say, well, I'll get hurt. I've been hurt before. There's an amazing thing with revival and with God's people that doesn't cause that. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're not willing to take the chance, it's never going to happen. Too often we hole up in ourselves. By the way, I know how to do this. If I got paid for it, I could probably be pretty rich by now. But that's not the way God wants us to be. We need to be people who are willing to admit our faults, admit to folks, I've treated you wrong, and even asking God and asking them to help us. Amen. Here's an interesting thing. In Ephesians chapter 6, is it Ephesians? It says, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And some of the great things that we try to do is even help each other in faults. If a brother is trying to help you in a fault, how do you take it? Well, they were mean-spirited about it. Well, maybe they were. Do you ever think about this? They might not be in God's will, but it might be God's will for you, or it is. That's an interesting thought. I found out sometimes that people who have a whole lot less spirituality are willing to tell me what's wrong with me. And oh, how we need to let God use those things to make us. Amen? It's humbling. Tonight's prayer meeting with the men, one of the things that was talked about is that humility. It's humiliating. But are we willing to do so? What does 2 Chronicles say? If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? First thing he says, humble ourselves. That has to take place in our lives. Where we're willing to be transparent before God and men, that we might get out of ourselves. If we don't get out of ourselves, the Holy Spirit cannot fill us. And too often we are absorbed with self and how we're perceived and worried about how folks are going to take us and all of those kinds of things. Brethren, we have not the filling of the Spirit because we're full of ourselves. And so we need to be transparent enough to allow God to help us see those things. And let's face it, much of our life is in relationship to people, isn't it? A big portion. What's that verse say? Help me out. I can't remember how it starts. Verse 7. Forgot it. It's gone. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, what's it say? Do we believe the Bible tonight? That's God's Word. So if we're walking in the light, in that place where God is shining down and, man, everything's visible. Isn't that what light does? Yeah. It's not darkness. But if we're walking in the light, everything's visible. We're allowing God to make everything known to us, to open it up. We have fellowship one with another. What's the test of revival in your life? You're one with your brethren. Not only with God, but with your brethren. No wonder God so often talks about how we ought to love our brothers. Amazing. Amen? That's what God desires for us. As I learned to get along with God, I learned how to get along with you. And vice versa, as I learned how to get along with you, I learned how to get along with God. That's what God is after. Sweet, wondrous fellowship. Isn't that neat, Dee? Oh, man, having that sweet, wonderful fellowship. Most of us have had that maybe a little bit with some. God wants us to have it with all. So I could never do that. Those folks will know who I am. Yeah. But here's the neat part. When we're all in that situation, we're not looking at you with condemnation in our hearts and our minds. If you're willing to admit it a fault, it's with great love and compassion and desire to see it go the right direction. With a fondness to be of every bit of help to restore you as we know how. That is there. And that's a wonderful spot to be in, to know that. But we're so afraid of people. And so afraid that they might know us, who we really are. And so we put up all these facades, and we continue to walk in darkness. It's not the place where the Spirit of God can dwell within us and we can have that fullness and have that joy and that wondrous, wondrous peace. Colossians chapter 3, I believe it is. Colossians 3. Somewhere in my notes I have that written down. Chapter 3, verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." You think that's talking about our relationships with people? "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Now notice verse 15. Another tremendous test that goes right along with it. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." Let me ask you, is the peace of God ruling in your heart? Well, let me ask you this. Can the peace of God rule in your heart when you're at odds with a brother? It's not ruling then, is it? Matter of fact, every time we see him, we have this antagonistic thought that's in within us. We shy away from him or whatever it might be. And that peace is not ruling. Notice that word "and" in verse 15. It goes along with the previous. And so it's a matter of forgiving and seeking forgiveness. Having the right attitude one with another. God wants, I believe, Open Door Baptist Church to be in a state of revival. A state of life. A state whereby we are walking in harmony with the Spirit of God, which puts us in harmony one with another. And I believe what I'm learning is, if we have the fullness of the Spirit of God, we have a walk with God's people as well as with Him. Because if I'm walking in light as He is in light, we have what? Fellowship one with another. So how can we tell? Well, how's your relationship with everybody? Is there one person in this room, or could be in this room, that you already have a problem with? Tells us something, amen? tells us something. Are we transparent enough to admit it to God and to others? And allow God to do some wondrous work. Father, tonight, I pray You'll open our hearts. I pray You'll do some deep, deep things in our lives. Lord, You came to save us, not only from our sin, but from our sins, that we might walk righteously. We might walk in the Spirit of God. And Lord, we see from Your Word that when we're walking in that Spirit, we're also walking with our brethren. And so, Lord, I pray that we might be inspectors of our lives. We might look and see, how is our relationship? Do we long to be with God's people? Or would we rather be hermits? Do we revel in the fellowship? Or is it just, well, I will for this moment. God, help us to look. Oh God, I pray You work in our lives. Lord, there's not a one of us here that's exempt in these matters. Lord, we all have these problems. But God, we can all have the fullness of the Spirit of God and a willingness to allow You to show us where we're wrong. We might confess our faults one to another. And Lord, we might certainly take our sins unto You, confess them. For in confessing, You bring cleansing. Cleansing allows You to fill us. Oh God, work in our lives tonight. And as we open the invitation, would You move upon our hearts as ought to be and show us what needs to be done, if anything. Lord, You have this time now. Work in us and through us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd stand, Christina, would you be willing? Just